want to invite you this morning to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. I want to read our text. If you don't have a Bible, I want to invite you to grab that Bible that is in this under the seat in front of you and turn to page 816. That's where we will be this morning. Matthew chapter 11. And let me read, and starting in verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. At the time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is week three of a series on rest that we've been going through as a church. And who would have thought that the topic of rest could be so tiresome? Who knew it could take so much energy to have to focus in on rest? As you came in this morning, I suspect that many of you shook hands and you were cordial and you greeted each other. Some of you engaged in conversations and you socialized for a period of time. Maybe some of you met some new people. Maybe some of you spent time chatting with old friends. But I wonder how many of you noticed the backpacks that people were wearing. A variety of backpacks. Did you see people wearing backpacks this morning? Maybe some of the baggage that people was carrying in? Some of the backpacks looked heavier than other backpacks. You still are looking at me like you're confused. I even saw young children carrying backpacks on their backs this morning. Maybe if we were to think about it like this. What is stressing you out? What have you been worrying about this week? What in your life is frustrating you? I think many of us, if not all of us, have been experiencing a load of difficulties that we're carrying around on our backs. Maybe invisible to the rest of us. Maybe something that only God knows about, but nonetheless, difficulties that are hard to bear, that are hard to deal with. Maybe you're a mother this morning and you are having these normal struggles of being able to keep your toddler under control week after week, day after day. Could be that man or woman here this morning that's been having those conflicts at the workplace with the boss, with fellow coworkers, even customers. Maybe you're an older person this morning, or even a younger person this morning, and you are experiencing health issues that are out of your control, or maybe you are the caregiver of someone who is experiencing difficult health issues. If you're a young person even this morning, you may be exasperated by your parents. You may be thinking, already dreading, do I have to go back to school in only a couple of months? Or maybe we could look at relationships. Who doesn't have relationship struggles, burdens that they carry around, whether it be marriage or family or friends or neighbors? What's consuming your mind? Guilt? Shame? Bitterness, resentment, maybe even the seeking of the approval of others. I could go on and on at the multiple ways in which we carry burdens around like backpacks, maybe invisible to so many. Maybe some of you this morning have been in conversations where you have experienced and had conversation where you've noticed that people are carrying around struggles that seem unbearable. And the question is, what can be done about these burdens that you've been carrying around? How do we find relief in the midst of carrying a load? Let me get right to the point. Our text this morning says Jesus is the answer. And I know that as you sit there, you think, that's the Sunday school answer. That's what you hear every week. We need Jesus. And I think that sometimes the answer is staring right at us in the face and we're missing it. Or we don't really like this answer. I mean, maybe there's got to be something better, something easier. There's got to be more, right? I mean, God, can he provide a different solution besides Jesus? But Jesus is alone is where we find satisfying relief from the troubles of life. Jesus is the sufficient shot in the arm for our spiritual ailments. Jesus is enough for us in any life problem that we experience. Jesus is the fresh air under the weight of stress that is sucking the life out of us. Just like the ministry of John the Baptist, our text this morning points to Jesus. And so we ask, how? How exactly is Jesus going to get this monkey off my back? Well, let me state it negatively first. There is no rest for the arrogant. There is no rest for the arrogant. Certainly, you've heard that phrase, there is no rest for the wicked. Simply, there is no rest for that big-headed person, that overconfident person, that person that sees himself as self-sufficient. Or more specifically, those who think they have no need of God. Even the Christian at times, do you know, can have this experience where we go through life, practically speaking, where we act as though we don't need God. We can do it ourselves. Let me show you what I mean from our text. In the previous verses, in verses 20 to 24, Jesus is condemning three cities. And despite the miracles that he's done in these cities, the people will not repent. He's made the message clear. He's given them plenty of opportunity, but they will not turn from their sin. These people not only rejected what Jesus taught, they rejected him. This is the context in which Jesus is addressing us. God was speaking, but they were not listening. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a person who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." So Jesus denounces them. That's what our text says in verse 20. Then he began to denounce the cities which most of the mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And then in verse 25, Jesus prays. He gives thanks to the Father for hiding truth. Did you catch this? This is fascinating. Hiding the truth from these type of people whom he identifies as the wise in understanding or the wise and intelligent. And so we ask, does Jesus not like smart people? Does he somehow favor the unintelligent? This morning, some of us are feeling good about that, and some of us maybe not. No, he's talking about those who think that they're smarter than God. He's talking about the disposition of the heart attitude that sometimes accompanies those who consider themselves to be wise and intelligent. Listen to these verses just a few chapters ahead in Matthew 13, 10 through 12. Jesus, again, his disciples came and asked him, "Well, why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" And he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. This is what Jesus is referring to earlier. Thank you, Father, that you have hidden these truths from the wise and intelligent. Those that think they have all the answers, of course, God is concealing the Christian message from the people who think that they know better, from people that think they have all the answers. See, there is a direct connection between a person's attitude and their ability to understand the Bible. A person can know all about the Bible, can know the Bible backwards and forwards, but really never understand what it's saying. The very truth that will set a person free from the burdens is kept hidden by God because they're too proud. Maybe we're too proud. James 4:6 says it like this: God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we do well to listen to what God is saying. Sometimes we find ourselves struggling. Maybe it's a personal battle with sin, or maybe it's a relationship conflict. And the Word of God is clear about what we need to do. God's made it clear. He's shown us exactly from his Word. But we think, no, there's got to be a better way. My way seems to be better. Someone comes along our side and they gently and kindly speak truth into our lives. But we don't like their counsel. We don't like what they're saying. We know it's probably true, but we want to persist in doing it our way. And as a result, you and I sometimes bear the heavy burden of our own choices. That's sometimes where the burden rests. As the Apostle Paul said, knowledge has a tendency to puff us up, to make us proud. It doesn't mean that the intelligent can't be humble, but there's a danger sometimes in the more we know. The greater temptation here is that we will become arrogant people. And when we think we're better because we know more, we forfeit the grace that God wants to provide for us. So while there's no rest for the arrogant, our text says God does reveal himself and his truth to children. Now, I don't think Jesus is literally referencing children, though children would be included. But those who are childlike, those who are lowly, those who are humble, those who are open to the truth, those are the kind of people that Jesus is referring to. Let me ask you, are you teachable? Would you consider yourself to be a person that humbly receives instruction from others? Are you willing to even receive criticism from others, correction, the type of stuff that oftentimes doesn't feel good when you're hearing it? Do you depend on God or even others, or do you find yourself being the type of person that says, I can do it myself? I'm a self-sufficient person. And certainly one of the strongest indicators that you and I sometimes are self-sufficient is we don't pray. We do any number of different things, and we don't call out to God for help. I don't need God's help. I can do it myself. Well, now, we may not say that, but we functionally live like that sometimes. But we're not calling out to God. Do you have it? The I can do it mentality, I can do it myself. I wonder how many of us are wrestling with burdens that would simply subside and be less of a load on our back if we would only humble ourselves. And part of the issue with pride is we can't see it. Sometimes we're even blind to it ourselves, and so it's helpful to have others speak into our lives. If we'd only listen and obey the truths that God has already shown us. Here's the underlying, I think, encouraging point for us. God is not so much interested in people who think they've got it all together. And so that would bring us great encouragement together this morning. He's God's economy. He longs for those who are restless and messed up. We're a messed up group of people. Humanity is a messed up group of people. And so we take good courage and encouragement here. God wants us dependent upon him for everything. That's the way he's designed us. So why pray? Because we can do absolutely nothing of significance unless we depend on him. He's made us utterly dependent upon him, needy for all things. That's the way God's designed us. We don't live unless he gives us breath. We don't continue to live unless he continues to provide food. Any number of things. God has designed us to be completely needy for him. In fact, and again, the way God works, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And so it is good to be actually in a position of humble weakness. We are in the best place when we are in a place of weakness. But who likes weakness? We live in a culture that's about being strong. You know, stand on your own two feet. Do what you can do. And the Christian message is no. Weakness is welcome. This is the way God works. This is the people that God uses, is those who are weak, not those who have it all together. And so I ask you, are you restless this morning? Is there a certain sense in which you recognize the restlessness of your soul? Are you needy? Do you find yourself needing God often throughout your week, throughout your day? Are you feeling the weight of a sin-cursed world where you feel the effects of your own sin and the effects of other sin, and where you feel tired and weary and burdened? Well, Jesus then brings great news. I mean, good news. Jesus is giving an invitation to those who are spiritually needy. This is a welcome message to us if we're in the right place to receive it. To those who recognize they are restless, to those who realize that they have real spiritual needs, Jesus says, come to me. It's one of the great invitations of the New Testament. Come to me. It's an invitation to children, to adults, to young, to old, to all of you this morning who are feeling the weight of weariness and burden. Jesus says, come to me. Go to Jesus. All that you that are carrying that loaded backpack full of cares and the worries of this world, Jesus is making an unbelievable and undeserving offer to us. And so let me ask you a couple of questions. Who is able to come to Jesus from Matthew 11:28? Who is able to come to Jesus, and what does it mean that he'll give us rest? Let's answer those two questions. First, who is able to come to Jesus? Everyone, right? We assume everyone. Everyone is able to come to Jesus, and the answer is no. Yes, the invitation is open to everyone. Even the arrogant are invited to come. But here's the reality. If you don't see that you are in need, if you don't want the remedy and the rest that God is offering, then the offer sounds like a wife who says to her husband, let's go shopping at the mall. And the husband, of course, says, why would I do that? Or the parent who says, I want you to go clean your room. And the child says, why? It will just get messy again, right? That's what the offer sounds like to those who see no need of it. So we have those who are able to come are those that see their need to come. Only those who admit that they are desperately in need of God. That's what Jesus is pointing to, those who are weary. More so, you need to embrace that Jesus is the only rescue from the backpack of wrongs that we have committed, the burden of sin. The cross is the only place where we can lay our backpacks, our burdens down at the cross, in which we can experience forgiveness. Jesus must be believed to be the only rest in the ultimate satisfaction of our soul. That's what it's a call to. It's not just part of Jesus. It's not just adding Jesus to my life so maybe he can improve it and make it a little bit more nicer or more comfortable. No, Jesus is the complete answer. He's everything. We have to see him as everything. Psalm 62:1-2, the psalmist got this. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. There's the confidence. It's God and God alone. People and possessions and things in this life were never ultimately meant to fulfill us, but oftentimes we find ourselves going to the very things that we think will bring deliverance and think that will bring rest, and Jesus says, I'm here the whole way. You need me and you need me alone. You may lose relationships, you may have difficult circumstances, you may have things completely out of your control, but Jesus says, I'm all that you need. It's good news. It's great news. It's amazing news. It's undeserving news. Augustine said it like this: You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And that's where our hearts are at. If we don't have the Savior, if we don't have Jesus, then our hearts continue to be restless until we're willing to submit to him and say, I will come. I will follow you. Secondly, what kind of rest is Jesus promising to the weary and the burdened souls? Spiritual burdens and life problems are often weighty and difficult. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Troubles sap our strength and cause us to feel like giving up. Some may be wondering, what exactly does this rest entail? Is Jesus promising to answer my questions? Is Jesus promising to maybe remove my problems, maybe heal my health issues, certainly maybe change my circumstances? A vacation. Nothing wrong with vacations, but is that what Jesus is promising? I know, maybe eliminate that difficult person in your life. That would certainly bring some happiness, right? And of course, no, that's not. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he talks about rest. This rest doesn't guarantee any of those things. God may never give us answers. He may never change our circumstances. He may never heal our diseases. That's not the rest that he's talking about. The rest here is twofold. One is it's a future fulfillment, an eternal hope. And the other is a present hope. Jesus is promising here eternal rest in heaven to those who will trust him. And he's also talking about rest here and now. The rest as defined as relief and refreshment. I think that's what this is what rest means. Jesus is offering relief and refreshment. So in the midst of trials, Jesus is our pain medicine that makes life manageable. We are able to function and continue on because Jesus provides that type of refreshment. Jesus is the water of life that refreshes our souls. Jesus is the bread of life that gives us strength when we are depleted. Jesus is not promising that life will be easy or that it will be free from challenges. We want that, and one day we will have that for those that have trusted in Christ, but that's not what Jesus is promising here and now. He's promising refreshment and renewal. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not in destroyed. You see what he's describing there? Awful, difficult, strenuous, stressful circumstances out of his control, and yet he doesn't give up because Jesus refreshes and renews him. Listen to this. Garrett Kell said it like this: Peace is not the absence of trials, but the presence of Jesus. Peace is not the absence of trials, it's the presence of Jesus. Jesus is enough. Paul found that he wanted that thorn, of course, to be removed from his side, and he prayed 3 times, and the Lord said no. He never removed it, but this is what he did say. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. Jesus is enough for you. For my power, again, is perfected in weakness, not in strength. And so we want to escape the weaknesses and difficulties of life. But that's where God's strengths come in, and he brings us refreshment to our souls. Listen to Johnny Erickson Tata, who can speak so well to this, having gone through so much in her life as a quadriplegic, as having multitude of health issues. She said this: God is good, not because he gives us answers, but because he gives us himself. And that's what Jesus is saying. Come to me. Come to me. I'm going to give you me. I'm the very best. I'm the only thing that you need. I am enough. Lastly, rest from our burdens comes through being a student of Jesus. And that's what we see in verses 29 to 30. Jesus says, take his yoke and learn from him. Now, I don't know too many of us that use yokes today. I've only seen pictures myself of yokes. The yokes would have been used for animals and for humans. People would have used them. And the purpose of a yoke would be to help carry heavy loads. Yokes weren't pleasant to wear, to have around, but they help distribute the weight across one's shoulders. But it would have been uncomfortable nonetheless. But what Jesus says here is he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Put on my backpack, as it were. In verse 30, he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But what does it mean that our backpacks, if we take on his backpack, is easy and light? On one hand, this sounds wonderful. I mean, what kind of promise is Jesus making here? Jesus is going to make life easy, of course, and the problems are going to go away, and life is going to be a piece of cake. That's almost what it sounds like. Of course, the problem is that some Christians have faced some very difficult trials in their life. And you've had Jesus, and you know that those difficulties haven't been light and easy. In fact, many of you would know that those problems oftentimes felt insurmountable. But what Jesus is saying is that my yoke, comparatively speaking, is far better than the backpack that you are trying to carry around. It's far better. It far exceeds that. Can you imagine facing the fear of death without Jesus? Can you imagine feeling great anxiety in your heart, knowing that the peace of Jesus is not available to you? Can you see yourself experiencing dark days when you feel all alone and no one understands and having no Jesus to turn to? There's nothing you can turn to at that point. Comparatively speaking, Jesus far exceeds all those things. Relatively speaking, our trials are bearable with Jesus. They are bearable. Jesus gives us perspective. He refreshes us. He gives us strength to be able to persevere. Some of you can give testimony this morning. I don't know how I would have gotten through this trial without the Lord. You've made that statement before. I don't know how people experience pain and loss without the Lord, without Jesus. Jesus tells us we need to learn from him. It's summertime, and most young people are happy that school is out. School's out, school's out. Teacher, let the fools out. We were probably singing that just recently, right? No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. But for the Christian, we never really get a vacation from learning. And Jesus is not giving us dirty looks. Our text says that he is gentle and humble at heart. Just for a minute, picture your greatest experience with a human teacher. Your greatest experience. What did you notice about that teacher? Well, Jesus was not arrogant. He was not harsh. Sitting at Jesus' feet would have been the very best place, best kind of learning. But we may say, well, but he's not physically here for me to watch and imitate. Jesus is saying, learn the truth that I give. That's what Jesus is talking about. Grow in the grace of God's word is exactly what we need to deal with our burdens. 2 Peter 1:3 says it like this. His, speaking of God's divine power, has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus. So as we learn Jesus, as we learn how we ought to respond, it enables us to be relieved, to be refreshed in our lives. But maybe the reason why some of us are feeling completely weighed down, even though we have Jesus, is because we've been taking a vacation from learning about what God would have us to learn. When you're stressed, what is your escape? When you're down, how do you pick yourself up? When you run to find happiness, where do you run to find happiness and security? Jesus is calling us to study his word that we might find rest for our souls. When we rest in Christ and live life being his 24/7 student, God produces fruit in our lives. And the Spirit of God produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And all these help us to alleviate the burdens that we're carrying. Doesn't take away the burdens necessarily, but help us to alleviate and find refreshment for our souls. Well, I don't know what's weighing you down this morning or what any of you might have to face even in the future. You may be wondering now, where do we go from here? How should I respond? Psalm 62:5 says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him." I met a sweet older lady yesterday and happened to find out that she knew my grandmother. They used to go to the convalescent home and sing hymns and in Owosso, and my grandmother's now passed away, but she would play the piano, and we as grandkids would often accompany her. And one thing that came out of the convalescent home, the hymn that was often repeated over and over again, was they would often request, "What a friend we have in Jesus." I wonder if this is a fitting response for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. And so it may seem, well, yeah, I've already prayed. I've prayed multiple times, and I'm still feeling burdened. Jesus is enough. I have to believe that, and I have to depend upon him. And that sometimes just means crying out to him in the midst of difficulties and saying, "Lord, I don't understand. I believe your word. You said you'd be with us and that you are enough." That's hard, but I think the Lord grants that. And I think there's peace that comes when we depend upon him, when we run to him. And secondly, the church is Christ, right? I mean, he is the head. We are the body. And so we need to carry each other's burdens. That's what Galatians 6:2 says. Carry one another's burden. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. And so you're sitting here this morning and say, you need to pray and you need to call on your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have to carry it yourself. But sometimes we're self-sufficient. We don't want to share our problems. We want to keep them private. And I think that there are plenty of brothers and sisters in Christ that want to come alongside and help carry the burden that we may share. Let's pray. Lord, we are forever grateful for a Savior who has offered us to come just as we are, not all cleaned up, but come as we are and submit to you, to believe in you, to rest in that you are enough for everything that we face. Lord, strengthen us in the midst of the heavy burdens that we may be carrying this morning. Refresh us. Give us relief. Help us to trust you when it's hard. Help us to know that you are with us, that your presence is near us. For all we need is you, and we are grateful for all that you've done for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.